You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Matt Chandler, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dehati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, welcome again to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. I am your host, Ed Stetzer, lead the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center. Wrote Planning Missional Churches, second edition with Daniel M. Lots of resources. Hopefully, love church planners and glad you are listening. If you're like this podcast, like and share and write a review wherever you download your podcast. Now, listen, if you have been in church leadership, you have probably had a difficult to lead team member or two. It might mean well, but if you're honest, leading them can be associated with frustration, stress, anxiety, worry. If you're conflict averse, maybe you're avoiding them. If you're confrontational, maybe you're continually sparring with them. In any case, the experience of working with them is making the experience of church planning, well, a little tougher than maybe you expected. My guests, introduced them last time, are Kathy Litton and Adam Mustab. Am I saying that? Adam, how do I say your last name again?
Mutasib. Not even close, but I love you anyway.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate that. Mutasib. Okay, good.
There you go.
Good. So we're going to, there's actually a resource at newchurch.com, free as always, called Developing a Core Team. And the course is free and it's actually video-based. It's live right now on the courses page of newchurches.com. All right, let's start by acknowledging church planners are not always the easiest folks to work with. So, they can be by nature, visionary, passionate, determined. Sometimes a relational strain on the core team has to do with the leadership of the church planner. So all that being said, though, Kathy, what do church planners need to remember as we approach this conversation about leading difficult teammates?
Well, the good news is we see this happen in scripture. So, in the Gospels and in the epistles, we see all these planting teams not coming together perfectly as well. And so that kind of helps us. Just we're a bunch of sinners working out together. So, it was really funny, Ed. I read the scripture really just yesterday. It made me think about this conversation where before Jesus sent the 12 out, among the things that he told them, he said to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so he's kind of juxtaposing two kind of concepts that they would need. And I think it kind of strikes to us as leaders when we're leading a church that we're going to need to walk in grace and truth, which is mentioned about Jesus all the time. So when we're dealing with difficult people, it doesn't mean that they get all grace and no truth. And so there is a conflicting ethos, so to speak, on this issue right now. But we are the church of the living God, and we want a team to be doing the right things, and they don't need all grace and no truth. And so, and I think we all lean one way or the other as leaders, that you lean toward grace or you lean toward truth. And I'd say through my lifetime in ministry, I've seen how those things make it hard for pastors and planters to lead difficult people on a team. And sometimes that leader that's giving more grace than truth kind of doesn't deal with issues along the way. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense. And I've seen it as well. Now, just so their listeners know, we're actually going to kind of spark this as a little bit of a conversation among Kathy and Adam and me. But in that conversation, we'll ask each other questions just so you're aware. One more thing from you, Kathy, and then we can throw it around. So you're going to have these conversations with leading difficult members, team members. You're going to do it with grace and with truth, but we all kind of come at it from a different personality type. How do we make sure that we're leading well in ways that people can receive it?
Well, we have wisdom. We have to do this with a lot of wisdom that comes from above. And we have to be consistent in speaking the truth in love. There's where sense of fairness, if we're going to deal with difficult people, it needs to be consistent. Good. And we also are always looking for a redemptive outcome. And people would know that, hey, you're not one mistake and then you're done from this place. And so I think the signal that you are a redemptive leader. But I will say this, this could cause us to lose staff along the way or team members. And so, you know, we're kind of talking about, you know, maybe people moving too quickly. Adam, have you ever been accused of moving too quickly, maybe dealing with difficult staff or difficult team members along the way?
I don't think I've ever been accused of moving too slowly at anything in my life. So, I mean, my instinct is to like react, you know, like David facing Goliath right away while everyone watches, or Jonathan climbing the mountain and taking on the Philistine army by himself. People would probably say he was moving too fast, both of them, but I tend to have that kind of bold faith, like, let's just go for this, let's do this, or let's tackle this issue on our team right away, swiftly. But I've found it's not always the best approach, and sometimes you need to give people time, give organizations time. I mean, I'm curious from you guys, like, I've heard over and over again that you overestimate what you can accomplish in 2 years. A lot of church planters tend to be fast, and underestimate what can be accomplished in 10 years. Have you guys observed those tendencies in young leaders? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll weigh in and then we'll hear from Kathy too. Yeah, absolutely. The, you know, there is a, you know, a ramp, if you will, and it takes time to accelerate up that ramp, and then you get the speed that goes there. I guess for Rec, when we talk about, you know, working with difficult team members, in particular, if you will walk alongside people, invest in people, even when, you know, they got they got downsides just like you got downsides. They got things they struggle with just like you got, just like you struggle with. The end result then is that they see you vested in them. And one of the things, and this, I don't know if this is Kathy can relate to this, is that one of the things I've just decided is that I think that it is a good thing that people don't think like me, don't act like me, and we can actually accept one another. And some of the best leaders I work with are people other people would call difficult leaders, but they just need someone to say, you know, I get that part of you. That works fine. This part we need to work on. And then they can say the same to me. And I think the end result is that we've walked that journey together. We're not rushing. It's not a 3-month conversation to help a leader who's got some rough edges not to have the rough edges. It takes some time. And that time, I think, is both a gift and a necessity in church planning. Now, again, you feel rushed, but don't feel rushed to address, you know, I remember when I was maybe 20 years old, and this mentor in my life, who's a great guy, but maybe not the best approach, sit down, but said, let's talk about some of the obvious issues I see in your life. And I'm like, okay, well, let's be friends a little bit. Let's, you know, and you know, my issues are pretty obvious, I think, to everybody. So that's not an issue. But Kathy, what would you add about the time it takes to work with people to find their strengths, find their weaknesses, to learn one another and more?
Well, I agree with you. We don't need clones of ourselves on our teams by any means. And that will cause us to have to work a little harder on the surface. But the fruit of that, and I mean, it takes some time to make those not natural pieces fit together in a puzzle, but it's worth it because, you know, Ed works with a young team and they work on sermons together. And Ed will come home from...
Not this Ed, like her husband Ed we're talking about here, not me. So
he'll come home from a sermon and he'll tell me what one of the young pups is what we call them, idea that he presented in the sermon work that day. And it was just like, he talks about reverse mentoring from an older person being mentored by a younger person. So I think that that us being different are good, but it can create an environment that we just need to be willing to commit to work harder to work through and not be thin-skinned about those things at all.
Good, good, good. Okay, so speaking of young pups, let's ask Adam. I just want to say they had to use that in there. So I don't even know how old Adam is. He doesn't look like a kid, but Adam, what characteristics or temperaments do you find challenging to lead, and how do you lead through that?
Oh, Ed, that is a spicy question.
It is.
You can actually use names. You can name people. You know, this person's kind of like
sure
this.
They would love that. The name of the episode is Leading and Loving Challenging Team Members. And I think the first thing I need to say is that I'm a challenge to lead. Like the gospel says, I'm a challenge, such a challenge that the perfect Son of God had to live a perfect life in my place, die a torturous death on the cross to make me unchallenging. So I think I need to approach that question with some humility. Like I got the same, whatever someone else is struggling with, I got the same root problems in my own heart. So approaching it with that posture, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that I found most challenging, especially the first 4 years of church planning, is uncommunicated expectations from members on my team. Mm-hmm. So I think there are a lot of people in church today who are not finding wonder in the gospel and satisfaction in Christ alone. And so who do they look for next when they're not, their soul is not content in Christ? They look to pastor. And they then put uncommunicated expectations on the pastor, which then, obviously, I'm not Jesus. I can't meet those. And I'm challenged to lead people who are embittered towards me because I'm unable to talk with them longer on Sunday morning, or I'm not doing enough pastoral visits, or I'm not inviting them over to dinner enough, or I'm not preaching well enough, or whatever it is. And so, I mean, it can be such a challenge to lead folks you can sense are like disappointed with you because you're not able to be everything they want you to be. And I think that's why Wall Street Journal just came out and said that half of the pastors under 45 are considering quitting right now because a lot of pastors can't bear the load. And so how I handle that obviously is whenever I sense someone's bitterness or discontentment with me and frustration with my leadership, I just right away cut through the tension and say, hey, here's what I'm feeling from you. Here's how I'm experiencing you. Tell me what's going on. That's kind of playing defense. But you also, as a lead planner, need to play offense. And you play offense in dealing with this by creating and clarifying a church culture that is healthy. So let me give you an example. Like one of our values is gospel honor at our church. And so certainly if someone's being dishonoring towards me, say, for example, they gossip or slander me to some another leader, that's obviously unhealthy. I play defense by confronting that. But offense is saying we are a church. That's who we are, of honor. I preach it through the sermons. I clarify it in our culture guide. I encourage it when I see it. And what happens when you play offense and clarify your culture with those challenging team members, whatever it is, someone's not working hard enough or they're being dishonoring, whatever, you've created a culture of a church that so embodies who you are that other leaders are confronting it for you, so you don't actually have to be the one to do it. So don't just play defense in confronting challenging people and you see it, but play offense in clarifying exactly what the culture is you want. So that being said though, I mean, you certainly install leaders that are not ready at times. And I know we say all the time to be slow to install leaders. What do you do when you put someone in a position of leadership that is not performing or is not embodying your culture? It can certainly be painful to remove them. What do you do when you have a leader who's not in the right position or is challenging to lead?
Yeah, I think in church planning, it's more common to try people earlier or put them in places of leadership earlier. Partly because you don't have a leadership pool, but partly because that's part of the progression of a church plant. That, you know, people maybe that are new believers start taking in some leadership roles, and you're kind of testing them in this place and space. And if it grows great, it actually just connects them to the church so beautifully. They grow into the role and more. I think part of the difficulty, this is those difficult conversations where it doesn't work. And I would say it is not uncommon when it doesn't work for you to, when you redirect that person might end up in a different church, and that's not the end of the world. But you want to help make that transition. So for me, the kind of the path that we kind of walk through is just to acknowledge, and usually people get that it's not working, not always, mm-hmm. but usually people get that it's not working. And I'll kind of phrase it as a positive what's next rather than the last thing didn't work. And I'll say, listen, is there something you think might better align with your gifts or might be something that you have interest in or you've noticed? And I'd say most of the time people will take that as an opportunity to say, yeah, this didn't really connecting with me and look for something else. Some of the time they won't. The hardest is when they think it's going great and it's not. And that happens, though it happens rarely. And this is where, you know, I have a, there's a movie called We Bought a Zoo, which I know this is the most random comment ever, but there's a line that they have in there about having 20 seconds of insane courage. And most of the things in life that are hard to do, mm-hmm. you can just muster up 20 seconds of insane courage to say, you know, it's just not working. And I just need to tell you that you get through 20 seconds and then the conversation actually becomes much less awkward and you can walk through some of those things together. So when I make a mistake, I try to make it positive. What could it be? Something else? If not, I have to muster up those 20 seconds of insane courage. Kathy, I wonder, you ever had a relationship with a teammate that started off bad and get better with effort, or does it never go that way? Tell me.
No, I can think of a couple situations of teams that worked on teams and served a lot aside of us that it did start off bumpy. And some of that was on me, just to be honest. I quickly judged them and I misunderstood them and I drew conclusions from all that. So in time, you know, I've learned to be more long-suffering and patient of somebody new, even in my role on the mission organization I work with, and I work across the country a lot, I need to give people space. I can draw quick conclusions that aren't always accurate, and I need to refrain from doing that. And I can look back on a couple of people that they turned out to be wonderful additions to a team, and I had gotten off on the wrong foot. But there's a time, I mean, Ed, you know this as well, though, what happens if that person doesn't really pan out and you have to ask someone to step down from the team? What happens then?
Not my favorite time, not my favorite conversation. Particularly when it's a team member. I've had to do this with a team member who relocated, just wasn't a fit for us. I would say I always try to have those conversations both honestly and redemptively. Say, here's what's not working, but here's ultimately what the Lord might be doing through this. Here's how we can redeem both the situation, but also the person. The person really matters in any and all of these conversations. Now, we need to wrap up because we're coming up on our time, but let me say that I think one of the things we've got to remember in all of this is that this is a very tumultuous time relationally for people.
Yeah.
And so everyone's sort of on edge, unsure, maybe struggling, uncertain. So let me encourage all those who are listening. First, thank you for listening, but take the time to acknowledge that people are in a relationally more difficult space than they were just 2 or 3 years ago, and have that grace. We might need a little more grace than truth. Depends on your personality. Some, if you're mostly grace, you might, this is maybe not for you, but if you're more on the truth side where I tend to be, this is a time to exert and exercise even more grace. Hey, thanks for listening to the New Churches podcast. Thanks to my guest, Adam and Kathy. We look forward to having a conversation again for you next week. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.